you have any thoughts of going back to college, or even if you're a young person and you're thinking about going to college, try something else. And we're not talking about for 4 years here or 2 years. We're talking about trying something else for a few weeks or a few months.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Unlocked Show. I'm your host, Tracy Wilson. Today is, you guys are in free. As you know, I've been away for a couple of weeks. I've been over in my home country, New Zealand, and had a great time catching up with friends and family. So this is the first time for a couple of weeks I've been back live with you guys, and it's so great to be back doing the show live with everybody and having everybody here. Like I said, today you're in for a bit of a treat because my very special guest, Bradley Rice, is here to tell you, you know, kind of unlock all the tricks, all the secrets as to how you can actually get started in the tech industry and how you can make, you know, something like $72,000, nothing to be, you know, sneeze at, in a fully remote entry-level position that has full benefits. So if you've ever been wondering, gosh, you know, you might be sitting in a job right now that you're not really that happy in, you're wanting a bit of a change of scenery, you want to do something a little bit different, but you're wondering, how the heck do I do that? How do I even get started? Maybe you're even thinking to yourself, I can't do that because I don't have any experience in that particular field. Well, my very special guest, Bradley, is here today to tell you that doesn't matter. He's going to tell you that, you know, what the experience you already have, how can you bring that and add value to the industry? Now, Bradley's actually worked in the tech ecosystem for over 10 years, and he became one of the highest paid tech professionals in the world, making over $225,000 just by working a mere 20 hours per week. So if that sounds, you know, like bells and whistles to your ears, then you definitely want to continue to listen today. And although he had a really incredible career, and he was actually able to retire at the ripe old age of, you know, 31, he was actually determined that his career wasn't over. He actually wanted to help other people set the same career path and create financial freedom in the same way that he has. So when he wasn't done with that, he actually started a business called Talent Stacker. And it's a service to put others on the same path that actually led him to financial independence. So without further ado, I'm not going to sort of spill all the beans because I think that's enough to hear that Bradley, you know, has done all of those things in a very short space of time. And he's doing extremely well now with Talent Stacker. I'm sure you guys are going to want to hear, how do you get started in that industry? What is it all about? And what does it actually take to be able to create a job, a well-paying business from the comfort of your own home? So huge big welcome to you, Bradley. Great to have you here on The Unlock Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that intro. I will try to live up to the expectation. And it's a pleasure to be here. So thanks for having me on.
I'm absolutely sure you will. So, hey, give us a little bit of, 10 years in the making was this your career in the tech space. And how did that all come about? Like, what were you doing prior to you stepping into that industry?
Yeah, so I was really just a student, right? Like, I'd gone to high school, I'd gone to college. Wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with my career. I wanted to be a high school teacher. I wanted to teach people about personal finances by being an economics teacher. I applied for really just about every job within, I would say, 60, 70 miles of my home. And I couldn't find anything. Like, I applied for 300 jobs and didn't even get a response. So clearly I didn't know what I was doing, right? I had no idea how to get in front of people. And I ended up just applying for all the jobs locally. I gave up on being a teacher. I mean, I was still trying, but I gave up on that being the only thing. And I decided to just start applying for anything and everything around me. And I took a job as, at the time, I had no idea what it was, but I applied and I did some interviews and I think I lucked out and I got a job as a junior Salesforce administrator. And that didn't mean anything to me at the time. But I had some great mentors and they just sort of said, hey, look, this is bigger than you think. Like, this can be a really big deal. And I didn't have anything else going for me. So I just thought, all right, well, I'll give this a shot and I'll give it my all. I'll listen to these people and we'll see what happens. And it turns out, fortunately, that they were right. And that's how I got my start in Salesforce. We call it an accidental admin. It's where you just kind of find your way into something, had no idea what it was. And then here you are. But I took it seriously. And I was always looking for a way to challenge myself, a way to grow, always looking for interesting ways to move forward in my career. And, you know, in the United States, at least, it's very typical to retire at 60 to 65 years old. Mm-hmm. And that was never interesting to me. I just never thought that a person should plan to work the best years of their life and then be done, or at least they should enjoy the work they're doing for the years of their life if they're going to do that for 40 years. So I took a little bit different approach. And to me, being a parent and being a professional meant that there needed to be more balance than a 40-hour mm-hmm. work week. So that's where we got to, you know, working part-time. And I think I was constantly trying to challenge the norms and just saying, like, why do I have to work 40 hours a week? Why do I have to work until I'm 65? Why do I have to make a basic living and just be happy with that? Why can't I try to do something different? And I think I had a fair amount of success with that. It was a lot of work, but I'm happy to say I came out on the upside, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question to continuously be asking ourselves, isn't it? It's that question of why, you know, why are we doing a certain thing? It's quite interesting, like the tech space has, you know, evolved over maybe the last, 30, 40 odd years, but it's become really, really popular in the last mm-hmm. decade or so. And I'm seeing now that more and more people, I was just mentioning earlier that I was over in New Zealand and I'm seeing advertisements all over the television over there, you know, really trying to entice people into the industry. What are some of the things that, and I think COVID has had a lot to do with people asking that question you've just posed, which is why, you know, that real change in what has happened globally with, you know, why was I going to work 40 hours? Why did I need to go into an office every single day when my job actually allowed me to work from home for a set period of time? And so it really has started to challenge or get people to think about things from a completely different perspective. Is that certainly what you've been seeing over the last, you know, say 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, tech has always been big for me, right? Because I got in 2010. So I've always worked from home. And I worked my first year in an office. But, you know, by the time I was, you know, 22, 23, a year into my tech career, I work from home ever since then. So, you know, COVID and the pandemic from a work perspective was not that, I guess it didn't distract me much. It was pretty normal as far as work went. And then of course, everything else about life was pretty abnormal. But I did see that, right? Like we all saw the pivot from, okay, everybody works in an office to everybody works at home. And there was a big question mark, right? Like, can we do our jobs at home? Is anybody even going to get their work done? Are they all going to be goofing off and, you know, finding something else to do with their time? And I think to your point, it made us question a lot of things. And I think especially as, you know, we're hopefully towards the end of the pandemic now, we've definitely seen it taper off. And we're at this point where everyone's going back to work. And they're going back to normal and they're starting to question. And I've seen this specifically with educators in, you know, grade school, elementary, middle, high school. Mm. And they're going, man, we got all this stuff done from home. There are certain groups of kids who we could better support when they were virtual. And there were certain teachers who performed better when they were virtual and that made more sense for their lives. And now we're going back without question. There's no half weeks in school, half weeks out of school. There's no balance. And they just stripped it all away. They didn't try to innovate anything at all. And they just said, let's go back to normal the same way we've had it for the last 50 years and forget about innovating or moving forward because this pandemic happened. And now I've seen a lot of educators transitioning to Salesforce careers because they want something different. They've tasted that work from home. They've tasted that freedom and that ability to have autonomy over your work, the flexibility of, I'll work 8 hours today, but does it have to be from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock? Or could it be from 9 o'clock to six? Or could it be from 8 to 3 and then 7 to 9? Like, why do I have to work the exact hours that you tell me to? And for me, that's not abnormal. I've been doing that because I've been in a tech career the whole time. Mm-hmm. So to the tech professionals, none of this is new. But to anyone who is going into an office, this is all very new. And we're kind of sitting over here saying, this is what the remote work hype is all about. This is what the flexibility hype is all about. This is why you're not just sitting at your desk at home. You don't have to be. You can work from anywhere. You can go anywhere. You can have more flexibility. So yeah, to answer your question, we've definitely seen a massive trend towards technology. But the good news is, just like any other, really most careers right now, there's a massive skill shortage, huge. Mm. And in the Salesforce ecosystem, we're looking at quite literally millions of jobs being created each year and nowhere close to millions of people upskilling into these careers. So every single year, there is a bigger shortage and we need more and more people.
I mean, that is, you know, going to be music to a lot of people's ears, because there will be a bunch of people that are sitting listening to today's show and thinking, gosh, I want to change. Where do I go? How do I get, you know, started in that industry? But to know that there are millions of jobs available, that there is a skills shortage in that industry, and that they could potentially get started, you know, having very little knowledge of the industry. So let's start with helping everybody to understand. Like, you've mentioned Salesforce a number of times throughout our conversation already. Let's give everybody a bit of context around what do we mean by Salesforce roles.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to keep this simple. And if by the time I get to the end of this, you're a little confused, that's okay. Don't make that be your excuse to say, this isn't for me. Give it a chance. But what you're doing is, as a Salesforce professional, there are a number of different roles. I mean, you're talking a $1 trillion industry. There are a lot of different things you can do. You can be a project manager. You can be an administrator. You can be a business analyst, a data analyst, a developer, anything. And notice that out of all those, developer is the only one that writes code. So a lot of people think tech jobs are all about writing code and being a programmer and having to learn a new language. Well, most Salesforce roles do not write code. They don't program. There's no new language. You're not one of these tech people with six monitors set up and, you know, looking at all the charts and, you know, totally different. It's not like that. So what you're actually doing as a professional is you are helping a business to streamline their processes. So that's super high level. You're helping a business streamline their processes. So I'll try to explain this. So imagine a small business. When they get started, they've got an email list. And those are people that they want to get in contact with to attempt to sell a product to them. So those are their leads. They want to sell that product to them. They've got these emails set up, use a number of different tools, MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, ClickFunnels, anything you can imagine, all kinds of different tools for businesses to email their customers. Now you have a lot of businesses who want to actually mail actual hard copy products into the mailboxes of their customers. Some want to call them instead of email them. Some want to show ads on, you know, whenever they log into their computer and they're pulling up different things and searching on Facebook, they want to see ads or whatever else. That's just the marketing side. Then you move into actual sales. And how do we sell a product? How do we bundle products? What are the prices? Do we have discounts? Who's selling the most? You know, how much should every person be selling to stay on track? What are the quotas? And then once we sell a product, how do we support it? How do we make sure that our support team is making our customers happy and they're happy with their products? And there are, by the time you get through that process, and those are just a few processes, businesses have so many. There's human resources and hiring and firing and the legal team and paperwork and everything in between. You have all these things going on in a business. Well, a typical business uses somewhere between 30 and 50 different tools to operate a business, any sizable mid-sized business. A small business still uses 10 to 15 different tools to run their business. What Salesforce does is it takes all of those tools and combines it into one platform, into one tool. And so this allows a business to, instead of saying, how many leads do we have? Let me open up that tool. How many customers do we have? Let me open up that tool. How many support cases do we have where we're having issues? Let me open up that tool. Instead, they open up Salesforce and it tells them all of that in one place. Mm. And what you're doing as the Salesforce professional is you're actually automating a lot of these processes. You're creating those reports and dashboards so the businesses can make decisions. You're deciding, you know, if we need to capture someone's birthday, you're going to create a new field for birthday and you're going to capture that. And you're going to run it into some automations where maybe you automatically email them on their birthday and give them a 10% discount on a product or something like that. So there's, these are all the automations that you build. You're basically a magician behind the scenes of the business. Mm-hmm. And it can sound like, okay, like I hear you as a consumer. I understand that's what businesses do. And at the end of the day, you can go through totally free training online and skill into these roles and get certified as a Salesforce professional. And you can do all of that. The certification, I believe, is $200 USD. And you can get discounts to get it down to $100, $150 USD. And that's your entire cost to get certified because all of the training is completely free. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing. And you would say, well, why is all the training free? If I'm going to go get a job making $70,000 plus, why wouldn't they charge me for the training? And that goes back to, there is such a massive skill shortage that they have lowered all of the barriers to entry to say, like, please come train for free. We just want you to get certified and go help these customers use the tool that they've bought, because Salesforce as a company has sold this platform, Salesforce, to all these companies. And because there aren't enough skilled people to do the work, their customers are sitting out there going, I'm not getting the value out of this tool that I bought. So yeah. I may not want to use this tool anymore because I can't find a professional to help me. It's like wanting to hire someone to come help you with your plumbing at your house because you have a plumbing issue and you call around and you can't get anybody to come out because they're all busy. They've all got jobs to do. And that's what happens with the Salesforce world. They buy Salesforce. They want to use it. They call around to try to get somebody to come help them out. There's nobody to do the work. So you can't use the tool. So that's where there's this massive gap where that's why I'm out here talking to people about come check it out.
Opportunity here.
Yeah, there's a massive opportunity and it pays really well. Like 70,000 is entry level, but the typical person with 18 to 24 months experience, that's about 100,000. With 3 years experience, about 130,000, 5 years plus, 150,000. Like it just keeps going up to the point where you're where I am.
And for those of you that are in Australia and New Zealand listening to today's session, you know, those numbers, that's significant dollars when you do a conversion from, you know, US dollars into New Zealand dollars in particular. And if you're, you know, you're a mum, thinking about going back to work, you know, maybe this is a completely different, you know, option for you. I mean, the great thing about this is if you think about, you know, reskilling, and as Brad has just said, you know, reskilling into this particular industry, I mean, it's minimal, $150, or for in the most part, it's free. They will train you for free. If you put that into context and think about, okay, I'm going to go to university and I'm going to do some form of degree at university, you know, you walk out of university, here in Australia at least, with a $70,000 debt and no prospect of a job. I mean, thankfully, the job you know, industry at the moment, is plentiful. There are jobs out there, but you're going to walk away from that with a debt. Whereas what Bradley's saying today is, hey, look at this as an opportunity, skill yourself up. And if you're a mum, right, and you think about what you do in a day to organize your household and to do the administration and everything else that goes with, you think about the skills that you already have. Those are a lot of the skills that are already required for the customer journey that Bradley has just spoken about. You know, you think about a business and what a customer has to go through to enjoy their product or service that they have now purchased. There's a whole raft of things. So you could jump in at any point and be doing, you know, a myriad of different tasks, which you already have the skill set for and be able to take away, you know, a decent amount of a decent income for it. Now, you talk about, you know, having a salary, but also the benefits that go with it. So I wanted to sort of expand on that a little bit. What do you mean by that? Because a lot of people in Australia and New Zealand won't necessarily like know what sort of benefits are we talking here?
Yeah. So the first, if you don't mind, I'll mention that, you know, you talked about stay-at-home moms, you know, that may be re-entering the workforce and, you know, stay-at-home parents in general. I would say that as far as people having success in Salesforce careers, stay-at-home parents transitioning back in are some of the most successful. And the reason for that is, to your point, it's businesses have constantly changing needs and requirements. And so you may walk in on a Monday morning and have a totally different list of things they need you to do than what you thought you were going to do coming in on Monday. And that's very similar to having children and staying at home with children. You wake up on Monday morning, you think everything's going to be good to go, and you're going to make breakfast and have this wonderful morning. And it just goes sideways and it doesn't go as planned, but you adapt. And you adapt quickly, and you're comfortable, you're patient, at least most of the time, and you're able to communicate quickly, you're able to take chaotic situations and calm those down. You're able to move forward with changing priorities and constantly get done what needs to be done. And not to mention all of the juggling of whether it's doctors and school teachers or daycare workers or people coming over to do repairs at the home or in the yard or something like that, while you're maintaining the calm and making sure that everyone's taken care of. That's much more difficult than any Salesforce job, by the way. And the skills that you use as a parent are far more, I think, intricate and detailed than any skill you're going to use as a professional. And people, they don't know that. I think it's everyone who doesn't stay at home as a parent doesn't realize that. But spend a month, not a day, spend a month at home, 30 days straight, with two or three kids. And I promise you that any job is considerably, easier than that. I'll say that first of all.
I think you might be getting you're right, Bradley, from a bunch of parents out there going, don't you know it? I mean, it can be a challenge.
Do you want me to speak on benefits real quick? I know I sidetracked us a little bit. All right. So typically in the Salesforce world, like a lot of people, when they first hear this message, they go, all right, now where's the catch? It's a little too good to be true. Mm. Like, I'm going to make 70K entry level here in a couple of years. I'm going to be making 100K plus 5 years from now, 150K. Like, really? And I'm going to work from home, and people at work are going to respect me for the work that I do. Because I'm actually in need, and I'm a skilled person at the job. And they go, where's the catch? You know, and the thing is that there really is no catch. You just have to be open to listening. These opportunities are out there, and you hear about it all the time. And people say, man, if I'd known that, then I would have totally done that too. If I'd known about that, they'll see someone else who's successful, and they'll say, how did you end up being successful? And they'll say, oh, I heard about this thing and I did it. And I was like, man, if I heard about something, I would have done it too. And then so many people hear a message like this and they don't listen. And they think there's some catch and it's too good. And the thing is, as soon as you land your job, they send you what they ask. The first question you're going to get when you land a job is, do you prefer a MacBook or a PC? And they're going to send you a MacBook, and they're going to send you a couple of monitors, and they're going to get your whole home setup done for you. You're going to expense your internet. You're going to expense your cell phones. Because now you're using all that stuff for work. There's this thing that many people haven't heard of. It's called unlimited PTO, which is very common in the Salesforce world. And it's not that you can just take every single day off, you know, paid time off, but it is technically unlimited. And as long, and this isn't every company, but a lot of companies, as long as you're getting your work done, and as long as your employer's happy and your team's happy, you can take off every Friday if you want to. You can take off 2 or 3 weeks and no one's counting. You don't have to go in and see how many hours you have left and then check that against how many hours you want to take off the rest of the year. Like, you don't have to do that anymore. And the other beautiful thing about being, you know, from home in general is those doctor's appointments where you need to be out of the house for an hour and a half. Or if you want to go get lunch with a friend and it's not going to be an hour, it's going to be 2 hours. All of that is okay. If you want to drop the kids off at school and pick them up, you know, all those things cut into a typical workday. But as long as you're getting your work done, and sometimes you might have to pick the computer back up at, you know, 8 p.m. and work for an hour to make up for something you missed today, but you have the flexibility to have your life and have your career at the same time. And to me, that is, you know, the most incredible benefit. But otherwise, expect, you know, everything you should expect from an employer, you know, 401ks, very competitive salaries, anything you can imagine, because again, you're in such high demand that they're willing to work with you and give you what you need to stay and make sure you get the job done for them.
Mm. Fantastic opportunities existing, right now. Now, I know you've sort of transitioned and are doing your own thing in terms mm-hmm. of Talent Stacker. So tell us a little bit about that and how does that fit into the world of Salesforce?
Yeah, so I, as you mentioned before, I was very fortunate. I wanted to be a high school teacher. To me, that meant I was probably going to start making about $30,000 to $35,000, and at the end of my career, I was hoping to maybe make about $70,000. I remember thinking that through. I'll be 30 years into my career, and hopefully, I'll make 70K, and that'll be great. And that didn't work out for me. And financially, that was a blessing. And I find myself in this position where I grew up in a very frugal household, so I was taught to sort of appreciate money, every single penny, and just never waste it. And so as I grew up and made more money, but the first year I was working, I only made $35,000 my first year as a Salesforce admin because no one was telling me what I should expect to make. And the second year I made $70,000, and the third year I made $90,000, and the fourth year I made over $100,000. And I never spent much more money, even though I was making more money, I never spent much more. And so by the time, like you said, I was 31, I had enough money in the bank to stop working. I didn't need money anymore for the rest of my life. And that's also thanks to a lot of concepts. If you haven't heard of it, go check it out. There's this, I would call it a movement called financial independence. And mm-hmm. it's this idea of don't worry about retirement and 65 or whatever else. It's called financial independence. And these concepts specifically, there's this podcast called Choose FI, that's Choose Financial Independence. And it will break it down for you what you need to know. But it basically says retire when you want to retire, because you can retire based on what your expenses are. So if your expenses are through the roof, it's going to take you a long time to retire. If you keep your expenses low, it doesn't really take all that long. So for me, that was really from in my working world about 10 years. So then I was kind of looking around, and I was interested in not working anymore to an extent, but I still had a lot of energy. And I felt like there were some things I could do, but I didn't necessarily want to go, I'd been helping businesses improve their processes and streamline and automate things for 10 years. And it was fun. But 10 years later, I was kind of like, if I have a choice, and then I won't do it anymore. And I was looking around and I said, I see a lot of people who are talking about they can't find a job. They can't find a skilled job. They can't find a remote job. They can't find a stable role with great benefits and all these things. And I just thought, man, if I could have this great of a career in 10 years, what if I went and just helped other people find out about these opportunities? And what if I figured out what those were? So I started a Facebook group called Salesforce for Everyone. And we had about 200 people join over, a few months. And I was just helping everyone one-on-one. And in about 6 months after starting that group, I'd helped 50 different people land Salesforce jobs. And so what I did is I started interviewing them. And I would say, what did you do? It was, and they say, we just followed a lot of what you said. We got on LinkedIn. We networked on LinkedIn. We worked on our professional branding. We got certified. We actually used a strategy when we searched for jobs. We didn't just put in 100 applications. We actually have a strategy to get in front of the employers. We tried to find volunteer projects through volunteer websites and get a little hands-on experience to separate us from the pack. And I realized wow, I think I could create a program to facilitate all of that, 100% all those things at a scalable level. And so I did that almost 2 years ago. It's been about 20 months now. But in 20 months, we have helped over 2,000 people land Salesforce jobs, which is crazy to me. And it's amazing how scalable this is. And basically the method we use is instructor-led training. We get you certified. We then get you on volunteer projects as soon as you're certified to help you get hands-on experience. We help you with your LinkedIn, professional branding, your resume. We train you on how to interview well so that you look great when you show up for interviews. And then we even support you. It's a lifetime membership. So we support you even after you've landed a job, because I don't want you to have a great job one, right? I don't want you to just have one good job. I want you to have a great career. I want you to retire in 10 years. I want to be there to support you and make sure that you're seeing the success that you want to see. Maybe you want to work 40 years, that's fine, but I want to make sure that you feel supported. And I've found this to be the most enjoyable thing. Really, it's the most challenging, but the most rewarding thing on the planet to have somebody come to you and say, hey, Brad, I was kind of skeptical, but I landed a job and I can't believe it. And for the first time ever, I'm going to be able to buy my kid Christmas presents without losing sleep over the family finances. Like for the first time in my life, I'm going to be able to do that. It is addicting to get that message. And it makes me like push and push and push and try to have that for every single member. But we have a ton of free resources. That's our full program. You know, you get one-on-one access, you get a community, you get lifetime membership, but that's a paid program. Now our free program, our free materials are abundant. So we have a podcast called Salesforce for Everyone that will walk you through exactly what to do. The Facebook group is still active and live. I think it has 15 to 20,000 members now. It's called Salesforce for Everyone. YouTube channel, TikTok channel. It's all called Salesforce for Everyone. So it's out there and go check it out. But we have a free 5-day challenge. Basically, that'll walk you through everything you need. And you can find that at talentstacker.com/now. And it's totally free because at the end of the day, we know there are some people who quite literally cannot afford to pay for a program. And there are some people who don't want to pay for a program. They want to do it themselves. They want to, they prefer to just grind and do things themselves. And we want to accommodate that too. So we try to make sure to obviously provide value to our paid program, but also provide value to the community and make sure that we're serving the community with free resources.
Now, Bradley, just give me that website again, just so I can pop it at the bottom of the screen so everybody else can write
Absolutely.
It down.
Absolutely. So that is talentstacker.com/now, N-O-W.
Gotcha. There we go, guys. Let's just pop that at the bottom of the screen so that you can all see it. So head on over to talentstacker.com/now, and that's where you can get a whole bunch of free resources from Bradley and his team. And, of course, if you want to take that further and you would like to connect with Bradley even more, there's a whole bunch of other ways you can do that through the Facebook group, and no doubt he will be all over LinkedIn too.
Yes, absolutely. If you search Bradley Rice on LinkedIn, look for the big orange glowing profile picture and message me. I quite literally respond to everyone. I think at this point, I probably get about 1,000 messages a week, and I do respond to everyone because I actually care about people. And if you say hi to me in the grocery store, I'm going to say hi back. And if you say hi to me on LinkedIn, I'm going to say hi back. It's just respect.
Awesome. I mean, what a great, position to be in, when you've come from an industry that you really love and then have realized that, hey, there's a whole lot of other people that could really do amazingly well in this industry too, and positioning yourself to be able to help them. But I bet Salesforce love you as well, being able to provide the amount of support and encouragement and and training to actually get their people job ready. I mean, they would think you're just the bee's knees. I'm sure of it. So
it's interesting. It is true.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody was sitting there today and they were thinking, gosh, yeah, I think I might, I'm going to check this thing out. And you talked briefly about realizing that there was like this pathway or this path to getting started. What would be maybe your top 3 to 5 things that you would say people should go away if they're even slightly intrigued about today's conversation? What should they do?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a podcast listener. I enjoy podcasts. It's easy to do. I would listen specifically to episodes 1 through 8 of the Salesforce for Everyone podcast. If you just forget about every single other episode that there is on the show, like forget about it. Listen to episodes 1 through 8. And if by the time you get through that, you don't feel inspired, you don't feel like there is something incredible about what you're hearing, then walk away. No harm done. It's 8 episodes. It's probably going to take 3 to 4 hours. Listen to it in 1.5 speed and it'll take even less. Okay. Yeah. Invest 3 to 4 hours of your time while you're on a walk, while you're in the gym, while you're commuting to work. Invest that time. If by the time you finish those 8 episodes, you're like, I'm out, don't want to do this, then don't do it. No harm done. You know something, maybe you can share it with somebody else and have some information to share with someone else. That would be my number one thing. Number two would be the website you shared, talentstacker.com/now. I would check that out. That's the 5-day challenge. That's probably going to take you about 2 to 3 hours, but it's hands-on. You're not just listening, you're doing. You're actually doing some training. you're setting up your LinkedIn profile, you're exploring the networking side of things. It's a little bit more hands-on. And I mean, that's what I would do if you're like, you know, I'm serious about this. I think I want to try it. How do I get my hands dirty and try this? The 5-day challenge. That's how you do it. Otherwise, you know, once you sign up for the 5-day challenge, you'll get the emails about the training and how to get going. And really at that point, you're going to know, do I want to do this? And do I want to do it myself? Because you're going to see the light. If you do the 5-day challenge and you listen to the podcast, you're going to see the vision. You're going to know what you need to do. And then the only question you have is, do I want to do this? Yes, I do. Okay, cool. Do I want to join a program that's going to walk me through it step by step? Or do I want to do it myself? And that's the question you have to ask yourself. And it's completely up to you. Like, no obligation for me. Make your decision. And just know that there's an entire community of people here to help you. You don't have to do it alone. There are people, it's a massive community. We call it the Ohana. And it's just Salesforce professionals helping each other to succeed. Because it's not that competitive, because the market's so wide open that we can all help each other, knowing that you're not going to take my job because there's a million other jobs for you to take.
Really interesting concept, isn't it? No competition, because there's an abundance of work. There's enough for everybody to go around. So why not just make everybody in the industry, you know, better for it by sharing one another's knowledge to rise everybody up. The concept is fantastic. So there you go, guys. There's three really simple ways to get yourself started. So I know, you know, right at the beginning of this, Bradley mentioned that a lot of people think about, gosh, I think I would like to make a change. But many people sit around and they do absolutely nothing. And as you know, out of every on every Unlock show, I encourage you guys to take action, because nothing changes unless we, you know, make the steps and we actually take the action that's required to make a change. And today, Bradley has extended a number of olive leaves and said, here you go. They're right here. Just grab onto one of those. Get yourself started. Start listening to the podcast. You know, within 3 or 4 hours, you've got enough information to be able to determine for yourself, is this an industry that I want to step into fully? And if it is, he then gives you the next sort of, you know, the next step in the process to help you actually land your first job. So if, you know, those numbers that we were talking about at the beginning around that 72K mark, if that sounds good to you, if it sounds like you would want to work from home, if it sounds like you want to be able to almost run your own show with your own hours, you know, and like you said, sometimes to some people that sounds too good to be true. What's the catch? But go through the process, listen to the podcast, join the 5-day challenge and see for yourself if it's right for you. Worst case scenario, hey, you jump into the industry, you don't like it. Well, what do? You jump out and you go back to doing what you were doing before. Nothing ventured, nothing gained is what I would say. So I want to ask Bradley, before we close out today's show, is there anything else that you think is really important for people to know or to understand before they get started in this industry?
Yeah, before you get started, I think just know that in my opinion, you know, if you have any thoughts of going back to college, or even if you're a young person and you're thinking about going to college, try something else. And we're not talking about for 4 years here or 2 years. We're talking about trying something else for a few weeks or a few months. Our members on average land jobs in 4 to 5 months, from not knowing what Salesforce is to getting certified, going through interviews, getting hands-on experience, getting jobs. You're talking 4 to 5 months. So if you're thinking about going back to college, take a semester off, take one term off and try some more creative things. Try something that doesn't require a student loan, that doesn't require you to do it full time, that doesn't require you to spend 4 years of your life doing something. Try something different. I mean, if you're not happy with your career, if you feel like your job is toxic, if you don't like the management, if you don't see a clear path forward, if you don't feel like you're paid fairly or treated fairly, do something about it. There are options out there. I don't care if it's Salesforce or something totally different. Maybe you want to go deliver food and that's better than what you're doing today. Just do it. Like, do something a little bit different and it's going to work out all right. Things just tend to work out. Like, take a chance, do something a little different. I think you'll thank yourself for it.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, when I think about my background, for most people that have been listening to the Unlock Show for some time, they'll know that, you know, my background, I spent 25 years in the corporate world as a, regional management for a large banking organization, which required, you know, you get paid for 40 hours, but you probably work more like 60 to 70 hours a week, days and days away from family. Where nowadays, funnily enough, I got back yesterday and my husband was like, oh man, you can have the good life, being able to go to New Zealand for 2 whole weeks and, you know, not have a boss to have to say, hey, can I have some time off too? And that is the lifestyle that you can build if you give it a bit of thought and you take some action. And and today, I mean, I think this is a fantastic opportunity for a lot of people. The fact that there's an abundance of opportunities in the industry, and that you can start with, you know, zero or very little, skill in the industry makes it extremely attractive. So I just want to repeat for everybody so that they know where to go. First off the rank is going to be listen to the Salesforce for Everybody or Everyone podcast, episodes 1 through 8. Listen to those, and then you can make a decision if you want to take it further. Then you can head on over to talentstacker.com/now and complete the 5-day challenge. And then you can decide, you know, if you want to take this further. And like Bradley said, it doesn't have to be a forever thing. Give you, you know, put your toe in the water, give it a little bit of a try out, and see if it fits. If it fits well for you, carry on with it. All right, guys, well, I want to say thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed today's session. I certainly have. It's certainly giving, I know that there's going to be a lot of people out there that will listen to today's episode, and it will give you a bit of light at the end of a tunnel, maybe, or just an opportunity to do something a little bit different, or to add another skill set, a few more feathers to your cap. So go ahead and do that. Take action today and go and live your life unlocked, because, as you know, there is just no other way. So thank you very much, Bradley, for your time and your expertise today. I hope everybody has enjoyed today's session, and I'm going to be back again with another episode of the Unlock Show this Friday at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Bradley.
All right.
We'll see you guys later.
Thanks for having me.
Bye for now. You're welcome.